If you served in the Vietnam War, Gulf War, or post-9/11 eras, you and your family may be eligible for expanded VA benefits. File by August 9th to maximize your benefits. Apply for free. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us. By the way, Dr. Ben Carson is going to be here a little bit later on in the program. Also, Liz Peake is going to drop by. And we've got a lot happening in Washington, where even the New York Times is starting to turn on President Biden. So we will share all of that with you. I've got to start with a local story here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it really does bother me when Republicans go back on their word. And this is a problem that we've been facing in the Republican Party all over America, right? This goes all the way back to George H.W. Bush when he said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." And I believe there's a good argument that could be made that H.W. Bush, as a result of lying about raising taxes, ended up causing great harm to this country that lasted decades. Had it not been for that lie, H.W. Bush would have been reelected president, and we would not have had a Bill Clinton presidency. We would not have had a Hillary Rodham Clinton on the national stage. We would not have had to summon the Sex and Victims Unit of CSI to the Oval Office of the White House. Hashtag Monica Lewinsky. I'm just saying there was a lot of evil that happened as a result of that lie uttered by George H.W. Bush. So it really angers me when Republicans turn their back on their party platform. And it bothers me when Republicans, especially, and look, how many times have we seen the Republicans lie to us? They have turned their backs on a lot of the culture issues. But at least we could count on the Republicans not to raise taxes. Well, today, that moment happened in Memphis. We do have some Republicans here, not many elected to high office. And there was a big debate over whether or not to impose a $25 per car wheel tax. So $25. Look, that's a lot of money for folks, and especially for elderly people who are on a fixed income. And so they're shoving through this wheel tax. We have four Republicans on the county commission, and I'll be doggone if three of those Republicans voted in favor of raising taxes and raising the tax to $25. It's just outrageous. Only one Republican had the courage to vote no. One Republican. I'll mention her name. She's a great conservative warrior. Her name is Amber Mills. Quite frankly, she ought to be running for a much higher office. Two other Democrats actually realized how bad this was and voted with Commissioner Mills. So you had even some Democrats voting against raising our taxes, and yet here you had three Republicans who betrayed voters. And by the way, one of them actually came on the radio station I owned and told me that guaranteed no vote. He was a guaranteed no vote. Turns right around and votes for the tax. What does that tell you? Now, look, at the end of the day, you got to get a good night's rest, and that's on you. All we can do is ask the tough questions and hold people accountable. And that's really part of the responsibility we have on this national radio program, is to hold our elected leaders accountable, whether that be at the national level, the state level, or the local level. We've got to hold them accountable. And I really do hope that if you find yourself in the unfortunate situation that we're in, where you inadvertently elected pro-tax Republicans to office, that you vote their butts right out of office in the next election cycle. And that's what I hope happens here. But it really aggravates me because this was an opportunity. And the threat was, well, if we don't pass this wheel tax, we're going to raise the property tax. And you know what I would have said? Fine, you go ahead. I'm still a no vote. And I'll be a no vote on the property tax. But if that passes, even with my no vote, you know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? You see, and again, here in Memphis, everything is about race. And we're a majority minority city. And that's the reason why we have a majority Democrat. We have been under Democrat rule in Memphis, Tennessee for generations. And that's the reason why. Republicans are working on that right now. And I commend them for that. Reaching out to the black community and especially middle class blacks, black residents and middle class black business owners and saying, hey, this is what it means to be a Republican. So anyway, had the Republicans held their guns here, the Democrats would have shot themselves in the foot because I'm telling you, you know who hates an increase in property taxes? White homeowners and black homeowners. And you better believe that would have been a massive campaign platform. Vote Republican because we didn't raise your property tax. But you know what? Can't do that now. Because they didn't think about the long game here. Anyway, enough of that. It's just unfortunate, and I hope all you people in Memphis, Tennessee, realize that only one Republican county commissioner had your back. Only one. And that's pretty pathetic. All right. Wow. Let's talk about what's happening in the world of pride. There is so much despicable behavior happening in our country right now. There was, over the weekend, a group of these topless lesbians and transgender freaks, and they were marching around New York City, and they were chanting. Many of them were dressed as drag queens, and they were chanting over and over again, "We're coming for your children, we're coming for your children." We have some of that audio. All right. So now, so they originally said, oh, we were taken out of context. Well, no, that's the context right there. They're coming for your children. That is the context, ladies and gentlemen. That is the context. They're coming for your children. I don't know how many times I have to chant that before you get it through your thick skulls, ladies and gentlemen. They're coming after your kids. That's what this is about. So anyway, NBC News did a story, and they were trying to defend the LGBT activist, and they say it's all Brian Griffin is the, no, is that the dog on Family Guy? Is that the, no, different one, just, oh, it's just a coincidence. All right, I see. Is Stewie quoted in here? No, just, all right. Anyway, Brian Griffin, who is one of the organizers of the New York City Drag Queen Parade, told NBC News, "It's all just words. It's all presented to fulfill their worst stereotypes of us." All right, well, mission accomplished. NBC News says local activists claim that the chant, "We're coming for your children," has been used for years. Yes, we know, because they're coming for your children. But they're defending their behavior. The news article, by the way, this is Carla Jay, the first female chair of New York's Gay Liberation Front, told NBC News the chant, "We're coming for your children," was an attempt to mock criticism of the gay community. Quote, "The person who said this in a march is not the person who came up with this idea. The person in the march is saying, go ahead, call me this. Why do I care? The person is trying to destigmatize this and claim their own power. You can't blame the victims here." So the drag queens and all these other freaks of nature are now trying to claim they are the victims here. But I'm telling you, they're coming after your kids. And to that point, There is a story. Where in my stack of stuff here? Ah, yes. This is from Granby, Connecticut. Granby, Connecticut, where the local grade school there is embroiled in controversy. And it involves a lesson of video on gender. Parents in Granby, Connecticut say they are enraged after their grade schoolers were shown a video, a controversial pride video about gender identity. Now, we're talking about first, second, third graders here. And the parents say they were really outraged over this. So the kids are being forced to watch this video for Pride Week at their grade school. The children come home, and I guess some of the children were actually upset. They were concerned. Some of them were weeping. Mommy, mommy, I may not be a girl. My teacher says I may be a boy. I don't want to be a boy, mommy. Boys have cooties. And the parents are just like, what? What are they teaching over there at the elementary school? So the parents go and visit the school. This is Wells Road Intermediate School. And the parents are saying, what the heck? And so and the principal said, oh, yeah. We showed the kids a video about gender identity and the fact that they may not be a boy or a girl, that maybe the doctor made a mistake. Can you imagine? So the parents say, well, wait a second. This is really inappropriate for this age level. Why are you showing our kids this video? And by the way, why were we not told about this in advance? Why were we not given the option to opt our child out of the video? And I love this. The school is actually defending the video. Oh, before I get to that, one of the lines in this video, this is an actual quote from the video. Pride means you should be able to be free. All my life, I never really felt like a boy, and I don't really feel like a girl, so I'd rather be both. What? What? Can you imagine a first grader watching all of this? So the video also had a few examples with preferred pronouns by the kids' names. And so the kids go home, and clearly they're traumatized by this. So anyway, the superintendent's office, they say this is really not a big deal. They say that video was designed for children as young as 2 years old. WFSB, the TV station there in Granby, Connecticut, got a letter from the principal. And this letter was sent to moms and dads. The video film was not intended to alienate or disturb any child. In context, we were trying to remind students that it is okay to be who you are and still be treated with respect, dignity, and kindness. This is the letter from Pauline Greer. The letter only made things worse, and so now the parents are planning to attend a big meeting tonight at the local school board office there in Granby. All I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is homeschool your kids, right? This is insane. 2 years old, and they're trying to convince the two-year-olds that they may not be boys or girls. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We've got a lot going on today. Updates on the investigations into Hunter Biden and the big guy. Also, President Trump, we have an update on that leaked audio. We're going to tell you about that as well. We'll be right back, America. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today on the Todd Stearns radio program. Let's head over to the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Hunter in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Hunter, what's on your mind today?
Well, I was just thinking, back when I was younger, I was always told that people that were gay were born that way. That was what they always said. Well, apparently, they don't even believe that now themselves. If they're coming for their children, and if children were born gay, they don't have to do anything. The kids are going to become gay without them doing a thing.
Yes, this is quite the pickle the gay community is in right now, Hunter, because you're right that the whole argument was you're born that way, but now the transgender movement comes along and says, you know what, you're not born that way. You can actually decide, you know, on a pretty much daily basis what sex or gender you want to be.
Which to me opens up a, how can it be a protected class if it's something you can choose to be or not to be?
It's a great question. Why do we even have Title IX anymore, right? Just, I mean, if you can identify as a woman or a, you know, or a bumblebee or a butterfly or whatnot, I mean, who are we to, and now who are we to say otherwise, right? If we have to accept that someone who is born a man can identify as a woman, who are we to now say, well, you can't identify as a potted plant?
Well, I think society is starting to get sick of all the inconsistencies and just stupidity.
You see, I'm with you, Hunter. I am hopeful, and maybe we can open that question up to the audience. You know, are you getting sick and tired of this nonsense? I think even some liberals are starting to say this is just way too much. But the problem is you can't do that, Hunter, because they've opened up Pandora's box. You have to either agree that God created male and female, and if you don't believe that, then you can't have absolute truth in this country.
No,
it's a kerfuffle, my friend. A kerfuffle, I say. Hunter, thank you. Let's go to Hope in North Carolina. Hope, what say you?
Well, hello there. Let's reduce this way down, okay? The only thing that we all have in common at birth is that we're celibate. Let's start there, okay? And then when it comes to, I don't care if it's sexuality, spirituality, or just flat reality, it's homework and not an assignment. That's as quickly as I can say it all.
It's what?
It's homework, not an assignment.
What do you mean homework and not an assignment? I'm not sure I understand.
Because everyone's having trouble choosing their sexuality, or you're talking about sexual choice and this whole bit. It's hard because choice is something that should be inner that some people say, okay? But the only thing that really happened at birth is that we came out celibate. And anything after that's product of the environment. I don't care what anyone says. I've had brothers all my life. I get called sir to this day, but I'm heterosexual, you know?
So you don't believe that God created male or female?
No, I do believe that.
You do? Okay.
Well, yeah. But the only thing that we all have in common as those male and females at birth is that we were all celibate at birth. There's no sexuality at all. I mean, think about it. That's when you reduce it way down. And the two closest things to God is a pregnant woman or a newborn child. So they really know what's up.
Or if you're driving on Interstate 240 in Memphis at rush hour. But yes, I get that point. All right, Hope, we're coming up on a break here. I appreciate the call. I had never really thought about it like that, but I guess, okay, interesting. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. But it is, Hunter brought up a brilliant point. Wait a second, I thought the whole argument here with the LGBT alphabet activist movement was that you were born that way. Now we're being told you're not born that way. Somebody make up their mind here. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So I've been told we have the mother of a transgender child on the phone lines. Not very happy with me right now. Let's go to Joanne. All right, Joanne, what's the issue?
Okay, Todd, you've got some learning to do, as most of us do when we're dealing with the topic of people whose brains don't work like ours do. Okay, they're made that way. First of all, you've got to accept that because it is the truth. Now, you're confusing the two things, who you love and who you are, okay? Who you are is who you identify as, who you love. So it breaks down that, say you're a lesbian woman and you identify as a woman. Say you're a gay man, you identify as a gay man. You're transgender with a female body, but your brain's telling you something happened during the course of formation of that brain. I'm a nurse. That is telling the person that they are actually the opposite of their body. People that are gay and lesbian, there is a lot of genetic connections with those, but they're born that way. They're not choosing. There is something called gender fluid, where someday they do think they're a boy, some days they're just like a girl. Very, very small percentage of the population. And, you know, if you don't believe that if you believe it's a choice, why would these people choose to be killed, injured, ostracized, kicked out of the family if it wasn't true?
Who's being nobody? Look, again, this is the mainstream media narrative here. People are not in mass being killed because they're transgender. And again, Joanne, this goes back to, I mean, this was a mental illness. This for the longest time when it was treated like that. But now people are coming out and saying, well, the gay people got it wrong and the lesbian people got it wrong. You're not born that way. You can figure that out later in life.
Who's saying that?
Well, that's what the whole transgender movement is. I mean, we just shared a story about a video shown to children that said, you know what? The doctor may have made a mistake when they classified you as a boy or a girl at birth.
Yeah, I heard it. Well, and I don't believe in going that young with this thing.
But, why not, you know, Joanne? I mean, if in fact everything you're saying is true, why would you not do that?
Because I don't think it's appropriate for young children. They'll figure it out on their own. Mm. My kid figured it out when he was 20.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe.
But you're mixing up.
No, I'm not mixing up anything. God made male and female. That's it.
Yes,
that is it.
So are you saying that there is no such thing as a woman who was made with loving a woman and a man who's made with loving a man?
From my vantage point and my belief system,
not.
No.
Of course not from your vantage point, because I am a heterosexual and you are, I assume, also. Our brains are not made that way. Can you open yourself to that possibility?
God made my brain. God doesn't make mistakes. And that's the whole point of this whole transgender movement. They're saying that God made a mistake. God doesn't make a mistake.
He made them too.
No, God doesn't make mistakes. God makes male and female. And there is an issue called gender dysphoria, Joanne. Would you please, that needs to be treated.
Yeah, and that's an old-fashioned psychiatric term, by the way. Would you please talk with someone in the medical field and not just keep listening to all of this, you know, man and woman? People are made differently than your brain and mine, and I know that's a fact. And I would really like you to accept it because you're hurting people.
I'm not hurting anybody, Joanne. And again, we speak the truth on this program. That's what we do. And gender dysphoria is not some sort of an old-fashioned term. That is a term that is being used right now. If you Google any national science website, it is a defined issue. That's what it is. Joanne, I think
I know more about it than you do, Todd. You need some education.
I guess I do. Joanne, appreciate the call. All right, let's go to Hudson in Florida. Hudson, what say you?
Todd, this is Moloch.
Okay. I don't know what that was all about. But all I can tell you is this, folks. God made male, God made female. That's it. Everything else is made up in the minds of humans. And the entire transgender movement is based on this one philosophy that God made a mistake. And the God I serve does not make mistakes. Period. Period. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We have a development in the New York City case where a U.S. Marine veteran stopped a madman from committing genocide on a subway car. Daniel Perry is in court. He has officially entered a plea of not guilty. He stands accused of manslaughter. And this guy, I mean, they could end up putting this Marine veteran, who quite frankly is a hero, behind bars for many, many, many years. Now, I've often said that progressives believe criminals are the victims and victims are the criminals. And that's what's happening in New York City. Now, right now, they've got a George Soros-funded district attorney there, a guy by the name of Alvin Bragg. He's the guy going after Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg will allow people who have done heinous crimes to walk right out the door, no bail. But because this young man, Daniel Penny, and he's got a bunch of strikes against him in the eyes of Alvin Bragg, the George Soros-funded district attorney. Number one, he's a white kid. Number two, he's a Marine veteran. Number three, he's a man. And number four, he did what a man would do in that situation. Now, the dead guy is Jordan Neely. And Neely was a 30-year-old homeless guy, had a long criminal record, and a history of terrorizing subway passengers. They're making him out to be the next George Floyd. In 2021, this guy brutally attacked a 67-year-old woman at a subway station. So when this guy got on board the subway and said he was going to start killing people, Mr. Penny did what any man, and especially what a U.S. Marine veteran, would do. He advanced and went to where the danger zone was and put this guy in a chokehold until the cops arrived. And unfortunately, Mr. Neely died. Now, let me say this. Every person on that subway car has called Mr. Penny a hero. And yet, he has been arrested. He has been charged with manslaughter and other crimes. They actually asked for a $100,000 bail on this guy. All I can tell you is get the heck out of New York City, folks. Because the criminals know they have the upper hand there. Now, had Mr. Penny not intervened, there is a very real chance that people could have been died or seriously injured on that subway car. But again, Alvin Bragg doesn't care. Because these radical district attorneys, they believe the criminals are the victims. You know, I wrote a chapter, a parody chapter in a book many years ago, and it was so outlandish at the time. The publisher said, no, we can't put that chapter in this book. There's no way something like this could happen. And the whole premise was that I had been robbed and mugged on a street in New York City. And when I gave a description of the suspect and I told the officer, well, the suspect is a is an Asian guy. I used Asian, not black. I said, oh, yeah, the suspect is an Asian dude. I was immediately arrested and charged with profiling. And the publisher was like, Todd, this makes no sense. It makes sense now, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It makes sense now. And we could very well be watching a 24-year-old Marine veteran hero going to jail. I'm telling you, stay out of New York City. You don't want to go anywhere near there. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee, our good friend at Nuga Radio, the radio powerhouse in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mike, what's on your mind?
My man, Todd, that woman thought she was going to spank you. Oh, I know. I couldn't wait for your response. Just quickly, the occupiers don't want you defending yourself. If you defend yourself, they'll arrest you. And the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you have to go to the far end of your house and exit your house if you're being attacked. You cannot even defend yourself.
What?
These I call it the law enforcement growth industry. The occupiers want the police to be in charge so they can grow their power and their wealth. That's my comment on that. But on being born gay, and I'm going to preface this by saying maybe I discussed this before. I hired an individual who thought he was a woman, but dressed like a guy until 9 o'clock. And then I let him dress in female attire because he thought he was a woman. I said, and I asked him, I said, when did this occur to you? He says, when I was 8 years old, I just always felt like a girl. But he got married to a woman. My point being is you and I are old enough to know people claim to be gay, claim to be straight, whatever. I'm a little fat because I'm predisposed to be fat genetically. And that means I just have to work a little bit harder to not eat the chocolate, maybe walk a little bit more and use the mouth a little bit less because I'm predisposed to it. So if one tends to be predisposed for whatever reason, maybe they were molested, they watch porn or whatever, to somebody of the same sex, maybe you should have a little self-control, maybe just a little tiny bit, because it is a little unnatural.
I just say stay away from the kids, right? Just stay away from the children.
Oh, it's unacceptable. But you know what? They're digging their own graves. They couldn't stop. They can't stop themselves. And this is when the mama bears come out. They're done.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that school board meeting tonight in Granby, Connecticut, because I think those parents, they are fired up. And a lot of people around this nation are finally starting to understand what they're doing in those classrooms, and they're horrified by it. And they should be horrified by it.
The unintended consequences of COVID. They didn't believe. Todd, you could talk to these parents till you're blue in the face, as I did for years, and none of them believed anyone.
Oh, it's
they
true.
They could not believe me. Until they actually had to experience it for themselves on Zoom. And it was worse than we thought.
Yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right about that. And I hope that parents are going to have the fortitude to fight this till the bitter end, because this is not going to get fixed overnight, and moms and dads are just going to have to lay down the law. And moms and dads need to understand their rights as parents do not stop at the schoolhouse door.
And can I tell you, you have power individually. My other half, when she first met me 10 years ago, thought I was a lunatic. Now she's stronger than me. We are introducing a bill in the Tennessee House of Representatives. We have a sponsor, and it's called Summer Cares Anti-Bullying Act, to make the parents and the children responsible for the atrocities taking place in government schools. And that was one person that did that. One person. And it looks like it's going to be passed sometime in February or March. I'll give you more information.
All right.
But that's, don't ever give up. One person, they do not erect statues to committees. Rosa Parks said, I am not going to ride the back of the bus. I'm done. They arrested her. When it got to the Supreme Court said, no, it's been unconstitutional. They said, why don't you tell us? You know what the Supreme Court said? You never asked.
All right, Mike, got to leave it there, my friend. Always appreciate you calling in. By the way, I forgot to mention this, and I should have. I was going to start out the whole program with this news. So yours truly has officially been terminated on YouTube. Over the weekend, I shared a couple of things. First of all, I shared a video of a speech delivered by President Trump. And YouTube says, nope, we're taking it down. that is misinformation. Well, how could it be misinformation? It's a speech delivered by President Trump. And so YouTube said, if you do anything else wrong or that violates our community standards, we're yanking you off our channel. That was the first strike. Then they come after me. Over the weekend, there was that gay pride parade, and we shared that information with you earlier this week, where you had the grown men buck naked on the bicycles exposing themselves to children. So we shared that video on our YouTube channel and said, hey, here's the family-friendly gay pride parade in Seattle. About 10 minutes later, get a letter, a notification from YouTube, and that says that our page, our channel, has been permanently terminated. In other words, no more. It's gone. We have been completely removed, eradicated, erased from YouTube. And we have tried to appeal, and the appeal came back, and the progressive fascist who run YouTube said, nope, that's it. We don't want your kind on our channel. So clearly, and look, this is YouTube's channel. They pay the bills. It's their right to determine who gets a platform and who doesn't on their channel. And I get that. But they are not arbiters of free speech, I'll tell you that much. So anyway, we are now on Rumble, and we're doing well. A lot of people have already joined up and are following our channel over there, and I would encourage you to do the same. But it's really a sad situation over at YouTube, where if you are pro-Trump, and if you have a problem with men undressing and getting naked in front of children, all of a sudden that makes you a bad guy over at YouTube. I mean, that's... I had no idea that YouTube supported perverts. I had no earthly idea. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. By the way, the state of Michigan is now considering legislation. There is a hate speech bill on the table. It would make it a felony to make someone feel threatened. This is House Bill 4474. It would replace the existing Ethnic Intimidation Act. The bill marks it includes sexual orientation and gender identity or expression as classes protected against intimidation. Just to give you an idea of how this would work, let's say I was doing the show in Detroit, for example. And that opening monologue I had about the transgenderism stuff and how God made male and female and that's it, that would qualify me to be charged with a hate crime in the state of Michigan. And so in other words, if you make someone feel uncomfortable, you could be charged with a hate crime. And that could send you to jail for a very long time in the great state of Michigan. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here. Linda in North Carolina. What's on your mind today, Linda?
Hey, Todd. Good afternoon. And I just have a quick question. What do people think, why these people that are exposing themselves, and I will not call them a male or female because they're, I guess, whatever they are, their pride, and why are they not being arrested for indecent exposure? I guarantee you, if that happened in our city, they would be arrested for exposing themselves.
Linda, that's a great question. And I don't know if there was some sort of a, during Pride Month, they suspend the rules and regulations on public decency. They may do that, or that the orders may come down during the Pride Parade. Men are allowed to, you know, expose their genitals to small children, and that's okay because that's part of the movement.
Oh, and we should just sit idly by and accept that.
Linda, that's what they want us to do. I just can't be silent. I really can't, and we've got to speak out. And look, if that means I've got to go to jail for 5 years and get fined $10,000 in Michigan, so be it. But they're not going to silence us. Really? I'm not going to be intimidated by that. Linda, appreciate the call. Folks, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Program.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Oh, boy. Wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome, hour two of the big show. So, Joe Biden was just out doing an interview with reporters. And he told reporters that Russia is losing the war in Iraq. Again, ladies and gentlemen, President Biden seems to think that Russia is actually at war with Iraq right now and not Ukraine. You really can't make this stuff up. Wow. Also, some new information coming in. We are now being told from the House Oversight Committee of yet another text message. Between Hunter Biden telling one of his Chinese associates, quote, the Bidens are the best I know at doing exactly what the chairman wants from this partnership, talking about the chairman of a Chinese energy company. So this situation keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And even the New York Slimes is reporting on this now and actually verifying the claims of the eyewitness or the whistleblower in this particular case. And the whistleblower, by the way, is actually speaking out, doing an interview with CBS News, Gary Shapley, cut number three.
If this was any other person, they likely would have already served their sentence.
Gary Shapley was a lead IRS supervisory agent in Operation Sportsman, the investigation into Hunter Biden. Shapley said he uncovered conduct that warranted more serious charges.
There were personal expenses that were taken as business expenses. Prostitutes, sex club memberships, hotel rooms for purported drug dealers.
How much did Hunter Biden owe in taxes?
So from 2014 to 2019, it was $2.2 million.
The back taxes were paid off, and last week, the Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney in Delaware, David Weiss, reached an agreement with Hunter Biden. The president's son would admit to a firearm charge and plead guilty for his failure to pay taxes. If a judge signs off, the deal means no jail time.
Testimony we have just released details a lack of U.S. attorney independence.
And Shapley told lawmakers that U.S. attorney Weiss was blocked from bringing stronger charges. But U.S. attorney general Merrick Garland said last week that Weiss was not.
I'm saying he was given complete authority to make all decisions on his own.
I documented exactly what happened, and it doesn't seem to match what the Attorney General or the U.S. Attorney are saying today.
Shapley provided lawmakers this contemporaneous email he wrote after an October meeting last year. Shapley says Weiss told him the opposite, that Weiss is not the deciding person on whether charges are filed.
It was just shocking to me.
Shapley, who is still working for the IRS, told us that even before President Biden took office, he was directed to avoid leads involving Hunter's father.
There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
It is important to point out that at that point in Shapley's investigation, Donald Trump was still president, and his attorney general, William Barr, had rules in place that may have limited what Shapley could pursue. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware had no comment. As for Hunter Biden, his attorneys did not respond to us, but he said before in a statement that he is taking responsibility for mistakes he made during a period of turmoil in his life.
All right, that's a reporting of CBS News. The New York Times is now reporting they have been able to verify some of the key components of the whistleblower testimony. So it clearly looks as though someone has given the okay for the media to go after Joe Biden now. And we believe that someone to be none other than Barack Hussein Obama, who is now living in Washington, D.C., and has been reportedly holding these high-level meetings with progressives on Capitol Hill. So that tells me that Obama is right in the thick of all of this. By the way, an update on this audio that was leaked from about President Trump. And we're not going to play the audio again, but I will say this. The Gateway Pundit is now reporting that Jack Smith, the special counsel, is the one leaking all of this information. And specifically, this document that now Trump says he was just boasting, really didn't actually have, this classified document that he was allegedly showing somebody. Well, it turned out not to be a document. Well, it now turns out that all of that, the allegation of the Iran document, the classified document that Trump was showing, had nothing to do with this indictment or the investigation. Nothing at all. So we've been telling you about this for the past couple of days, that this appears, at least upon my reading of all this, to be a big nothing burger. I mean, the media has been going bonkers over this. But according to the Gateway Pundit, this has absolutely nothing to do with this investigation. Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, one report here on Twitter from Jeff Clark, and I'll read this here. Jeff Clark, by the way, a former Justice Department official. He says, I'm beginning to read the indictment against Trump, but even three pages in, it's clear the leaks that preceded the indictment are far too close to what is actually being pleaded by DOJ to be a coincidence. He says this means Trump's lawyers could not possibly be the source of the leaks, ergo the leaks are coming from DOJ. They must be investigated and punished. Also, this is grounds for granting a motion highlighting jury pool poisoning and dismissing the indictment before it reaches even its one-month birthday. All of this is so outrageous, it shocks the conscience. It's fundamentally anti-American. Trump witch hunt number what? I've lost count. Let's call it Trump witch hunt number 99. He's got a good point. I mean, this is nasty business. So again, it appears now that, as the story goes, that Jack Smith leaked the audio of Trump, knowing that this particular audio had absolutely nothing to do with the indictment. So again, folks, they are trying to taint the jury pool. Even more importantly, they are trying to play with your mind. This is a psyops case again. And how many more of these are we going to have before the election? All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, there is some new intel about Trump versus DeSantis. New polling data out showing DeSantis is just in a free fall. He's just not connecting with voters. And now there are some DeSantis people out there saying, well, the reason why is that people are just too much in love with Donald Trump. Yeah, they are. But they also believe Donald Trump to be a man of his word. And right now, people are just having a very hard time trying to connect with Ron DeSantis. And I'm curious to hear from you. What do you think that is? Why do you think it is that DeSantis is not connecting with Republican voters? Again, our number, 844-747-8868. We're going to your calls coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a great day across America. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, KWAM. Tariq is on the line. Hi, Tariq. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Stern?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, sir.
Yeah, well, you were talking about who would be better off serving office between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis.
Yes, sir.
But I think that it may be one of the reasons why Trump has a better connection with the American public is because it could be that he's a little bit more charismatic than Ron DeSantis, and because of what he was able to do during his first term, a lot of people were content and what he was able to get done, and they and because of that, they're willing to you know, give him, they're willing to reelect him on his second term.
That could be, Tariq. I mean, you go back and, I mean, the boldness of Donald Trump, you know, going into areas where Republicans normally would not campaign and, you know, thinking about, you know, predominantly black neighborhoods and telling the voters flat out to their face, you know, what do you have to lose? You know, just, you know, the Democrats certainly are not helping you. So why not give me a chance? And I look, he got more of the black vote than any Republican, I think, in at least in this century.
What he did, but you, all these allegations during his term, his first term, all these allegations started popping up from nowhere, and so he was just caught up with, you know, from Russian collusion. So it was, you know, it was this. If it wasn't this, it was something else. And so I just think that, you know, 4 years, his first term just wasn't enough to actually get anything done. But now he has a strong, there's a strong possibility that he could very well get reelected this time.
Tariq, I'm curious, are you a Trump guy? Is he going to get your vote?
Yeah, I voted for Trump the first time. And I voted for him. So I'm saying that I'll be voting for him again.
All right. All right. Well, Tariq, I appreciate you calling in. Next time you got to call me Todd, though. Mr. Stearns was my dad.
Yeah, I keep that in mind.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. Tariq, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to KWAM. Let's go to the great WDUN, Karen, listening to us in the beautiful state of Georgia. Hi, Karen. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I think that Trump is a known, and I don't think he's perfect. But I think we know what we're going to get. And DeSantis, maybe he has some great ideas, but we don't really know. We know what we're going to get with Trump. And, you know, he's I drive a full-size truck, and I know how painful it is at the gas station every time I have to stop. So I knew what I was in for with Trump last time, and hopefully that's what it will be again.
Karen, I think there's a lot to that. And I think the establishment people forget how effective Trump's presidency actually was. I mean, he was very successful in his 4 years in office in spite of all the investigations, in spite of all the lies. He was able to move his agenda forward, and I think the average American actually appreciated that.
Right, I think so, too. I think maybe he could use a little polishing here and there, but overall, I think it was definitely a good presidency, and it was positive for my family, and I'm sure lots of others. And so I think just kind of knowing what you're in for, you know, you just have to look past some of the mouthiness here and there. But at the end of the day, I know what's in my paycheck, and I know how much goes in my gas tank, too.
And Karen, you and I both know we can holler till we're blue in the face. He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop the way he talks, the nicknames, all that stuff. We've all got somebody in our family like that, right?
Exactly.
They're just not going to change their. And you know what? It's, I think people find that refreshing and authentic. It may drive people nuts, but at the end of the day, they accept it because there's somebody, an uncle or a grandpa or even a dad in the family, and they're just like that.
Exactly. And yeah, you can definitely look past it because there's so many other positives that outweigh the little bits of negatives. So I think just knowing what we're in for with Trump, I think that's where people are going to go to again.
That's good to know. Karen, I appreciate that call. And folks, we are, again, I'm just curious. It seems like every day we get a new poll, it looks worse for Ron DeSantis. And this guy has a lot of conservative talk radio hosts in his back pocket. He's got a lot of influencers out there, but they're just not moving the needle for him. I think that may say a lot about the influence of the talk radio hosts that are endorsing him. But I'm curious to hear from you, what is it that's not moving the needle? Because I just step back and think about this for a moment. What if Donald Trump decides, you know what, I'm done here? I'm not sure that DeSantis is going to be the nominee. I'm more impressed with Tim Scott than I am Ron DeSantis right now. Tim Scott is really doing well, raising lots of money, and he's connecting with people out on the campaign trail in a much more authentic way. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Patty, what's up?
Hey, Todd, how are you? And
Patty,
how are you feeling?
Patty, I'm doing well. It's great to hear your voice.
Hey, listen, you know what? You know, I'm a Trump girl, and I'm going to tell you right now, he could be sitting in jail, and I still vote for him.
Yeah? That could happen. I don't know. It's,
I don't care. Let me tell you something. The guy, they already call him the orange guy. He could be an all-orange. He's still my president.
Orange is the new orange. I love it. We're going to make him an honorary Tennessee volunteer.
Oh, my God. You know what gets me? Everybody's like, oh, DeSantis. DeSantis is not saying anything different. He's Donald Trump 2.0. Do you know that?
You see, I don't think he is, and I think that's the problem.
No, I'm saying he's saying the same thing that Donald Trump ran on, the same thing that DeSantis is saying. It's the same thing.
It's DeSantis has got to figure out who he is. I think he's trying to be something
DeSantis
he's not.
DeSantis is not going to be president. I'm sorry. I thought he would in the beginning. I got a little bit worried there. But I don't think DeSantis just don't have it.
All right. I got to go back to 1960, Patty? I was, my parents were not even married back in those days.
I was born in 1960.
There was the first television debate between JFK and Richard Nixon. And JFK had the makeup, he had the hair done, the whole nine yards. Richard Nixon was sweaty, he looked pale. If you were listening to that debate by the radio, Richard Nixon won hands down. But if you were watching, it was JFK's. And I think that's the issue here, is that, you know, Richard Nixon was just not able to connect. And I think the same thing is true with Ron DeSantis right now.
Right. Ron DeSantis is, like, when I listened to him, my granddaughter actually was at the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
Oh, she should have come up and said hello.
She was there. Well, she's 24 years old, Alexis. But she said, Grandma, she's like, listen, she said, it was so crazy when Chris Christie came out. She says, I walked away. She said they were booing him.
Oh, they booed him.
They booed him from the time he got on to the time. But when Trump, she said, for some reason, Grandma, when Trump comes out there, she said, the electric fire, it's so electric.
Yep. You can't fabricate that. That is something that is authentic and real. It is organic, and either you got it or you don't got it. And Trump's got it. I mean, the man's got it. And I hope that DeSantis can figure it all out. I just think he has been so incredibly ill-served by his campaign staff. Honestly, I mean, he's a good man. He's a good man. But they got to figure it out. Patty, we got to run. And next time, you know, when I'm giving a speech, tell your granddaughter to come over and say hello. So, and Patty, you got to come as well. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Don't go anywhere if you're on hold. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court coming up next. It's under attack as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Folks, every evening, Newsmax has a powerful lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Chris Plant, Eric Bolling, and they're delivering the truth to you every night. Americans turning to Newsmax for the real news that you can trust. And now Newsmax needs you to vote in their brand new national poll. They want to know if the Trump indictment is legitimate or if it's a political act. You can text the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747. And you can vote right away. Make sure Your voice is heard. Newsmax is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. Tune in now for the latest on Trump and be sure to vote on that poll. Text Trump to 39747. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have a very special guest with us. He is the chairman of the Keep Nine Coalition, former Tennessee Attorney General. He is a columnist for the Tennessean and USA Today, Paul Summers. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, this is a mighty important issue. The Supreme Court has been under assault for quite some time by the left, and there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about adding upwards of 12 justices to the court. But you and your group want to keep it at 9. Why is that so vitally important?
The judiciary affects each one of us. Remember that the judicial branch is not political like the other two. That's the crown jewel of our constitutional republic, the United States of America. The judicial branch acts as a checks and balances on abuse of power by the other branches. We've got challenges every day, but there's one issue around which a broad nonpartisan majority of Americans agree, and that is the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices. 3 years ago, Andy Miller, the former Attorney General of Virginia, a Democrat, told me about 15 former attorneys general who got together, half Democrats and half Republicans, and they all agreed that this is what we need as a constitutional amendment. That is a Keep Nine constitutional amendment. The reason is because our Constitution is silent on the size of the Supreme Court. And without an amendment setting the number of justices, a future Congress and president, regardless of party, could change that number for political advantage. Both Democrats and Republicans have tried but failed to pack the court. As a matter of fact, during the Civil War and shortly thereafter, the Republicans tried 3 times. They increased the number of Supreme Court justices to 10. And then after Lincoln was assassinated, they decreased it to 7, and then they put it back at 9 in 1869. It's been 9 ever since. FDR, a Democrat, tried to pack the court in 1937. He was unsuccessful. They wanted to increase the number by a bill in Congress to 15. It was unsuccessful. We need to keep the number of justices at 9 where we are today.
And that's exactly what the Keep Nine Amendment says. Very simple language. Quote, the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices, period. Now, I know that you guys have done some polling on this, and voters by a 3-to-1 margin support that. And also among moderates and independents, nearly 4-to-1. What is the process, and where are you guys at in the process of trying to get this into the Constitution?
Thank you for your question. We have over 1,000 elected officials throughout the state that support the Keep Nine constitutional amendment. We have over 200 members of Congress that support it. We've got to get it passed. The constitutional amendment must be passed by 2/3 of both the House and the Senate. And then once it's passed, then it has to be ratified by 3/4 of all the states. We've got a lot of work to do, but we are determined that this is one of the most, if not the most, important constitutional amendment that can arise, and we are going to get it passed, and we're going to get it ratified.
All right. Keep9.org is the website, ladies and gentlemen. That's keep9.org. Paul, I was watching a movie about the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg last night. I thought it was interesting in a lot of your promotional material. She is featured, and it was RBG who said 9 seems to be a good number. It's been that way for a long time.
I think you got the quote exactly correct.
I mean, this, to your point, is you've got people on the left and the right, Democrats and Republicans, who believe that it's important to preserve the independence of the Supreme Court. So this is not a partisan issue.
It is not a partisan issue. We have a grassroots nonpartisan group, the Keep Nine Coalition. It was started by 15, both Democrats and Republicans, and maybe one independent, who started this concept of 13 words amendment. And we are completely nonpartisan. We have no political agenda. We want to do the right thing. We want to maintain our constitutional republic. We don't need 25 members on the Supreme Court and become a banana republic.
No, I'm with you. And I think that is the concern. I mean, if you've got folks packing the court, that is a dangerous thing for this country. So I wish you guys the very best of luck. Keep9.org. That's keep and spell out the number nine, N-I-N-E.org. Right. And folks, you'll be able to get information. And Mr. Summers, we really appreciate you spending a few minutes on the program today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate you.
All right. Paul Summers, ladies and gentlemen, he is the chairman of the Keep Nine Coalition, former Tennessee Attorney General, and they want a constitutional amendment that would honestly stop. And let's get real for a second. Only one political party is talking about packing the court. It's the Democrats. But there's going to be a bipartisan effort to try and stop that by advancing this constitutional amendment. And he's right. It's a lot of work. You're going to have two-thirds of the House and the Senate voting, and then the states have to ratify it. So it's a lot. There's a lot of work involved. But if you'd like to get in on the ground floor of this grassroots effort, go to keep9.org. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Anna in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to talk about my YouTube ban. Hi, Anna. What's up?
Hey, Todd, listen, I was listening to you speak of that YouTube thing, and, you know, they're not real smart. A lot of people listen to you, and when they told you what they did, they took a lot of other people away, too, so, and I'm one of them. So I'm just, you know, you do a lot of good. You speak the truth, and some people just don't want to hear the truth. Some organizations, not so much people. But, you know, I feel for you because you do spread the word of truth, and you're a good man. And I feel for you, but there's so many other good social networks that you're part of, so. But I just, it just got to me. I thought they're not real smart over there.
Well,
because there's a lot of people across the fruited plain that listen, Todd darn, especially in Georgia too. And so, you know, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, more or less.
Well, Anna, that's kind of you to say. And you know, we're on Rumble. You can always watch our stuff over on the website as well. And I get it. I mean, you know, they pay their bills. They don't charge you for using their platform. And, you know, I appreciate that. But at the same time, you know, they can't be promoting themselves as an arbiter of free speech when they are canceling people who they disagree with. And that's what happened here. So it's all good. And Anna, I appreciate your kind words. Thank you for that. Let's go to North Carolina, WHKP, our great affiliate there, Maria. On the line. Hi, Maria. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I'm just calling in response to your question about why people still gravitate toward Trump rather than DeSantis. And that's because Trump has proven that he loves this country. He loves the people of this country. And he is willing to get in there and fight for us and deliver for us. And I disagree with the lady earlier who said he needs to be polished. Actually, there are too many polished politicians in Washington, D.C. as it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with DeSantis. Just want Trump to get his second term. After that, you best believe DeSantis is on the top of my list.
But right now, you say it's got to be Trump.
Trump, yes, sir.
All right, Maria, we've got you down. And look, a lot of people, based on the polling, a lot of people agree with you. And they just say that DeSantis needs to wait his turn. And I think in his heart of hearts, I just don't see. Here's the thing, Maria, I don't see his heart in it right now. I look at Ron DeSantis And I look at a man who maybe has been talked into this. It's not something that he just feels called to do right now.
I see. You've got a good point there. Yes, I agree.
All right, Maria, appreciate that call. And you tell the folks over in Hendersonville we said hello. Oh, have y'all heard about this crazy story out of Costco? Yeah. Now, I know nobody in our audience does this, but Costco is cracking down on non-members using the cards of actual members. And I know exactly what this is all about because I actually have a Costco card. But now Costco is implementing a strict enforcement code, and they're going to crack down on people who are using membership cards that don't actually have one. I didn't realize this was that big of a problem, mainly because when you walk in, I mean, when I don't know what it's like at your Costco, but here in Memphis, if you walk into a Costco, you have to show your card before they let you into the front door, right? So, and then you have to show your card when you're checking out. But now Costco is apparently doing a lot of these self-checkout registers. I don't like those. Don't like them. And Costco says the workers are now asking for a photo ID if the membership card does not have a person's picture on it. Costco says it's really not a change in policy. They're just going to enforce the laws that are already on the books. So you folks better be careful if you're going over to Costco. Have you done that with Netflix, though? I'm curious. You don't have to. We're not going to name names here, but. Do you let a family member use your Netflix service, your membership card for Netflix? I may or may not be guilty of doing that. I'm throwing that out there. But it's a lot of money. I'm just telling you, a lot of money. Let's go to Ann in North Carolina. WSIC wants to wait on the Supreme Court. Hi, Ann. What do you think about this this new effort to keep it at 9?
Well, I'm not educated, so I'm going to let you smart people determine it. But I'm thinking it's just a numbers game. So why not just 3, or why not 15, or why not, you know, if there's how many states, 2 from each state, and then add an extra one just in case. I can tell you that maybe we could use artificial intelligence. We wouldn't need Supreme Court justices. Just let the computer, you know, somebody put all the information into the computer, and the computer can decide cases, because I'm sure it wouldn't be partisan unless the person programming the computer is partisan. But I can tell you that my father's vote was suppressed because of hackers. He wasn't able to vote in the last election before he died when he wanted to. And
really?
Someone suppressed his vote. So, yes, really. And so we know that they've added votes here and there, so they can certainly take votes away. And with the new technology that we have, you know, it is what it is. So it doesn't make a difference, I think, as far as the numbers of the Supreme Court justices.
Could you imagine, Ann, Chief Justice R2-D2? I'm not sure about that. I'd rather have humans, you know, again, than cyborgs on the Supreme Court.
I would think so, but again, so what difference does the number make?
Well, that's a good question. It has fluctuated over time, but I think the argument is it's been this way since World War II, right around World War II era. So it's worked so far, and why mess with it with something that's working?
See, we have a technology. Things have changed. It's not the same anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore.
All right. Well, we're not. We're in Tennessee, but I get your point. Ann, we're going to open this up. I'm sure people are going to have an opinion on it. Ann says, what difference does it make? We're living in a new society. We have all this modern technology. Do we really want to let AI determine? I'd rather go with humans, a jury of humans. I don't want to leave my fate to a computer. All right, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Really, Chief Justice C-3PO. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure he'll look good in a robe, you know, but who knows? Well, he's kind of gold, I guess. Gold with the black robe. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of me prepping the grill with Reynolds Wrap. And the sound of me not doing dishes. And the sound of me spending more time outside with my family.
Easy prep, cook, and clean. Make time with Reynolds Wrap.
I like the sound of that.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Michael on the line. Hi, Michael. What's up? Hello, Michael. All right, Michael's. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, very good. What's on your mind today, Michael?
Well, you asked the question, what difference does it make what number there is on the Supreme Court? It's pretty simple. If we had a Republican in office right now as president, the Democrats wouldn't say a word about who's on the Supreme Court. They wouldn't want to enlarge it because they don't want a Republican appointing a Supreme Court member that's conservative. It's all about control.
Well, of course it is, Michael. That's the whole point.
And, you know, the solution's easy. Vote a Republican in. It's that simple.
Yeah,
that'll
look,
shut them up for another 4 years.
I mean, you could be in a situation where you have 20 Supreme Court justices, and let's just say for the sake of the argument that most of them were appointed by Republican presidents. I mean, what are you going to do then? Are the Democrats going to come back and say, well, we need 50? You know, I mean, come on. So 9 has worked out just fine, and I don't necessarily have a problem with a constitutional amendment codifying that. So, Michael, appreciate the call. And thank you for listening. Let's go to Nick in Oregon. Nick, you got about 45 seconds. Go for it.
When Obama made it into office, people were asking, I asked, how could he do it because of his background? He's very nefarious. So to find out that the Democratic Party, all they do is attack, attack, attack until the contenders give up. That's what's happening to Trump. If the people fold and buy all the garbage, it's a long years of accusations and nothing. So the people who are saying he's tainted, well, they're buying into the Democratic plan, so we should not do that. The man has stood for us. He's worked for us. And to say, I'm sorry, I can't vote for you because it's just because the left has done a fine job of trying to discolor him, and it's not right. So I'm not going to buy it. I'm voting for Trump.
All right. Well said. And in 45 seconds, too, you got bonus points for that, Nick. Yeah, look, it's true. The people love Trump, and they're not buying what the Democrats are selling. Or Fox News, for that matter. All right, when we come back, you're not going to believe this. A church worshiping gayness. I'm telling you, just don't be standing under a tree. I mean, lightning might come down in the next hour. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Dr. Ben Carson is going to drop by. And we're also going to tell you about a church that's literally worshiping the LGBT community. And I don't mean like, oh, we support you or we affirm you. It's they're literally worshiping the LGBT people. And we're going to play some audio for you a little bit later on. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have our good friend from Fox News, Liz Peek, hanging out with us today. Liz, hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
So, Liz, I have to tell you, I was sort of kind of in the neighborhood. Last week, I was anchoring on Newsmax all last week, and they flew me up to New York City, put me up on the Upper East Side. And I was really stunned by two things. First of all, the number of empty storefronts on the Upper East Side. But number two, I walked into a Duane Reade, one of the drugstores, to get some Gatorade. And this was over near the Mark Hotel, which I think is like Madison and 70th or something. Nice area. And I walk in there, and even the doors, you know, where they have all the soft drinks, everything was locked, padlocked. You actually have to ask a manager to come and unlock the doors. And the guy told me, he says, if they didn't do that, they would be wiped out.
Yeah, it is just horrifying. And there's no will to change this. Obviously, this really stems from very misguided policies about law enforcement. The sort of social justice push has overtaken common sense, and there are no barriers to crime really here. I mean, whether it's shoplifting or assaults happen and the people are back on the street within hours. So there is a sense of recklessness that has taken hold in New York. And honestly, they're doing everything they possibly can to make it worse. There is no will to change it. I mean, right now the city council is working on a bill that will allow criminals to expunge their not have to report their record or their criminal backgrounds to landlords and or employers. We've passed a raise the age law, which basically means that young people, young meaning up to 18, are not treated harshly by our justice system, so that all the gangs are now recruiting 13, 14, 15-year-olds to do their dirty work, knowing that they won't get in trouble if they're caught. I mean, honestly, it makes your head explode. And it's a tragedy. This is a great city, has a tremendous amount to offer, but people are leaving. People are leaving New York and Chicago and San Francisco. When will these people realize these policies are a critical issue in terms of ever having these cities recover? They cannot recover if they're not safe and if they're not pleasant to live in.
It's a fair point you're making, and it was just sad. I had not been back. It had been about 3 years since I've been back and just spent a long amount of time in the city, and it was just really sad. It was just a weird vibe. It's just not the same. And I'm with you. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is.
Yeah, it is, and it's totally willful. I mean, it's an extraordinary thing where a very, very small slice of the American population, the progressive left, is driving the bus. And people don't like these policies. In New York, they don't like them. But here's something that just happened that's sort of noteworthy. We had primary elections, and in some of the offices, all Democrat, of course, running for local control, there were candidates that were more or less on that progressive, crazy spectrum. And I think the number, I could get this wrong, but something like 10,000 people voted. I mean, imagine that. A city of, what is it, 8 million. Yeah, nobody voted because it's like the entire city has thrown up their hands. But, we know it's corrupt. We know it isn't going to change. The lunatics are in charge of the asylum. And, it's probably going to have to get worse before it gets better. But look at San Francisco. It got worse, and it is not getting better.
It's true. And folks got to pay attention to that. Liz, I want to get to your amazing column you wrote about what's happening with Joe Biden and this corruption scandal. You point out this is not smoke any longer. It's a raging inferno. And I get it. The Democrats are ignoring this. But, Liz, I'm curious to hear your take on why the mainstream media is now covering this. Why are they just now waking up to all of this?
Well, I honestly think it's the weight of the evidence now is just too much. It's too much. Well, two things. Number one, I think that the walls are closing in on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. I think there are just too many witnesses, bank accounts, photographs of Joe Biden with Hunter Biden's business associates, texts from Hunter Biden that implicate his father, whistleblowers, all kinds of things. The evidence is so large now, it's pretty clear that something very bad happened. Certainly, something bad happened in terms of Hunter Biden committing tax fraud. Forget about, being slow to pay his taxes. There was serious tax fraud going on. There's no question about that. Maybe money laundering, taking bribes from foreign officials, etc. Just too much to ignore, I think. And secondly, I think Democrats are beginning to understand that they have an incredibly horrible candidate running in 2024. And all the stuff that they've worked for so hard could come tumbling down. Kamala Harris is not an adequate standby. They've got to do something to drive Joe Biden out of this race. What could that be? What could that look like? Okay, so basically it becomes evident that these hearings and this investigation is going to be pointing a finger directly at Joe Biden, which, by the way, he has not yet ever denied. No one's denied taking a bribe. No one's denied. I mean, he kind of throws off comments like it's malarkey or find the money. Wow, what a tremendous inducement for the press, in fact, to find the money. And I think they will. But I think it's just getting too much. And this is the way to get rid of Joe Biden. Eventually, someone goes to him. Maybe it's Obama. Wouldn't surprise me. And says, "You look, Joe, you're going to be in trouble here. It's time to retire gracefully, you know, plead a health issue, get out of the race, and all these investigations will go away and your family can live happily ever after." That seems to me to be so sensible. And it's the only way that they don't end up stuck with Kamala Harris, because, you know, I can't even really envision a President Harris. I think most of the country would have a heart attack. So I think it could happen.
Yes. A couple of things this morning, talking to reporters, he said that Putin, that Russia was losing the war with Iraq. So, yeah. I mean, he never corrected himself. And then just a few moments ago, and I'm reading this is a verbatim quote, Biden giving a speech announcing Bidenomics. And he says, yeah. It was inappropriate for Barack to spend time with Xi Jinping, but I spent a lot of time with him. I met alone with him. Just he and I, 68 times, 68 hours, 68 times, more than 68 hours. By the way, I turned in all my notes. I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. I think, look, what we know is that Hunter Biden was deeply involved in business transactions involving Chinese companies associated not just with the Communist Party, but also the intelligence operations of the Communist Party. If you don't think they know exactly what he did, exactly how much he was paid, and what, if any of it, went to Joe Biden, you're kidding yourself. There is very little question in my mind, and I really do try to keep an open mind on this stuff, that Joe Biden is compromised when it comes to China. If he himself isn't, his family certainly is. And that's the same thing to Joe Biden. So I really do seriously believe that he cannot be trusted to handle our affairs with China. Imagine this. I mean, you've got to take a step back every now and then, pinch yourself. This is our country's biggest adversary, rival, threat, however you want to define it. And our president may have taken money in an illicit way from Chinese operatives. I mean, it's almost too hard to comprehend how dangerous that is to our country. So, you know, this is bad. This is really bad stuff.
All right, Liz, we're going to have to leave it there. It's a great column, and we look forward to getting it back on very soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
All right, Liz Peek, everybody, a great columnist, and she's spot on accurate. And it's getting ugly for Biden, and there will be that call made very soon. The question is, who do the Democrats go with? I mean, the clock is ticking, and if it's not going to be Biden, then who? Is it going to be Gavin Newsom? Is he going to have the power? Is he going to have the platform to take on Donald Trump? Or do they really throw a curve here and go with a Hillary Clinton or a Michelle Obama? 844-747-8868. I'm still betting on Michelle Obama. And then First Lady Barack. That's what I'm thinking. 844-747-8868. Now, I'm going to play some audio for you. And this is shocking audio, but you need to understand what we're dealing with here in this LGBT movement. This is a church service, a legitimate, actual church. It's the United Church of Christ, but it ought to be the United Church of Satan, the UCC. And there is a female preacherette, and she's in her lady clerical garb, and she is leading the service. And they're actually worshiping the LGBT movement. They're calling this, a sparkle mass. Let's take a listen.
Of the Sparkle Creed.
Sparkle Creed.
I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child,
who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints, as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the ace quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud, and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen. For Taylor Swift and her Swiftie fans and all music that inspires us, help us shake it off when life takes a turn. Remind us that we can still make the whole place shimmer. And when the time comes, help us confess and say, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. God of love.
Now, I don't know if the preacherette, if she got into the communion wine before the service. I don't know what's going on there. But I can tell you this much. I don't want to be that woman on Judgment Day. We'll be right back. Well, we have a problem here in Memphis, Tennessee. Don't know if you guys had this issue in your neighborhoods. But the thugs and the thugettes are out on the streets. And they're in their cars, normally Dodge Chargers. And they're doing the donuts and they're doing the drag racing. And they actually use the interstates to stage these races where they'll go upwards of 120 miles an hour during traffic. And there have been all sorts of people killed and injured. It's been terrible. And I don't know why the Democrats have not, you know, launched a campaign, you know, holding the press conferences. We got to get the cars. We got to get the cars off the roads. We got to bring back carriages. People need to start riding horses so we can save lives again. I don't know why they're not doing that. But, I mean, it's really bad. I think more people may have been killed by cars as opposed to guns in Memphis. And that's a lot of people. I mean, people are getting shot every day around here. So, anyway, the kids are doing they're doing the donuts. As a matter of fact, we've got some audio. This happened on Sunday in downtown, like what, right around the Beale Street Peabody Hotel area. It's a beautiful area of downtown. Take a listen. So that's what it sounded like. The cars are literally in the intersection doing the donuts, and they've got thuglings, and thuglings are little thugs. And so the thuglings, the juvenile underage thugs, are like hanging out, literally hanging out of the car windows. So you've got a picture of the scene here. You've got the Dodge Charger, and it's going around and around and around. And you got the thuglings hanging out the window and watching it all. At a stop sign is a Memphis police officer in his police cruiser. Not once did they stop any of this from happening. Not once. And this is not the first time. This has been happening, and it's sort of terrifying. I actually got caught up in one of these. Six or seven months ago. And you're just minding your own businesses, and the next thing you know, you've got all these cars racing around you and doing the donuts, and you're just trying to get home. You know, you don't want to cause any trouble. And the police are there, but nobody's doing anything about it. And everybody's upset with the police. But I'm not, and I want to explain why. Because if the police had actually stopped the thuglings and stopped them and arrested them and confiscated the car, then you would have had the NAACP, you would have had Ben Crump down here, you would have had people marching in the streets accusing the police officers of racism because they stopped these little thuglings from causing mayhem on the streets of Memphis. But it's a catch-22 because there's a pretty good chance one of these days you're going to have these thuglings and they're going to be doing the donuts and somebody's going to get slung right out of the car and they're going to be wrapping their body around, I don't know, an electric pole or a telephone pole. And when that happens, you're going to have the NAACP and Ben Crump and all the Democrats on the city council, and they're going to be out there saying, well, we're going to sue the cops because they didn't do anything. So it's darned if you do, darned if you don't with these poor police officers. And I feel bad for the cops. So what we need to be doing, though, is bringing in the United States military. And I know about Posse Comitatus and all that kind of stuff. But, folks, we're in the middle of a freaking war zone here in Memphis. And nobody seems to care. At least nobody in elected positions seems to care. But we need to bring in the military, and we need to put down the rebellion. That's what we need to do. All right, we're going to talk to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, coming up. We got to take a quick break here. Also, Dr. Ben Carson is going to drop by. He has a brand-new book out, so we'll be talking to him as well. 844-747-8868. Yeah, they're called car takeover events. Do you guys have those in your town? Maybe you can offer some suggestions on how we stop that here. All right, we'll be right back. Get funky, America. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. All right, Jim, what's going on here, Jim, with all the thugs and the thuggets and the thuglings taking over these roadways?
Well, what they ought to do is give them 60 days in jail, confiscate the car, and sell it at auction if it ain't a stolen car. I don't understand why they don't do it already.
Jim, I don't either. I'm just, again, I know the predicament that the police are in, and I'm just wondering if they've made the decision, you know what? I'm not even sure my police chief's going to have my back if I go in and do my job here.
I agree with you. Everybody screams, you know, defund the police and everything else, but they're the first ones they want. They'll be the first ones to call the police when something happens.
It's a fair point. Jim, I'm just curious. I know you're in Lakeland, which is a suburb, but are you guys seeing the crime moving up from Memphis into y'all's area?
We haven't seen a lot. Which is good because we've got a sheriff substation right there at Arlington next to it, and they've done a real good job. But there has been a little bit of crime out there, but they need to adopt a little prayer that I say, now I lay me down to sleep beside my bed, a pistol I keep, and if I should awake and you're inside, a coroner's van going to be your next ride.
You're our official poet laureate of the Todd Stearns radio show. Jim, all right, I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
That's all right, but as I say, you're doing a great job, and I appreciate the radio station, man. I listen to you all the time.
Well, we sure do appreciate that. You give us a call back. That is probably the best poem I've heard in a long time. That's great. All right, Jim, thank you for the call. Wow. All right. I like that idea, though. Jim says, confiscate the cars, 60 days in jail, and then auction off that car or whatever, and maybe that'll cover the cost of having to incarcerate these punks. So I say good for you. Good for you. All right. This story coming out of television station KTUL, it turns out that fewer Americans are going to church. Is that true? Is that true? Fewer Americans are going to church. And the latest sign that Americans are losing their faith, church attendance has dropped several percentage points since before the pandemic. And U.S. church attendance has dropped nearly 10 percentage points from a decade ago. That's according to Gallup. A survey conducted last month, released this week, shows 31% of Americans attended a church, synagogue, mosque, or temple in the past 7 days. That's down 34% in 2019. Is that true? Are we living in a society now where people just are, they're saying, that's it, we're done with church? Is that what we're doing here? Is that where we're at in American history, where people are no longer going to church? Maybe people just, I don't know, they feel that church is no longer important. Gallup senior editor Jeffrey Jones says it's the pandemic. He says Americans avoided public gatherings and they just never went back to church. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what about you? Have you noticed this trend? Are people not returning to your local church? Have you noticed that attendance is down? By the way, in 2020, 47% of Americans said they belonged to a church. That was down from 50% in 2018. But get this, in 1999, 70% of Americans went to church. And now we are a godless society. The percentage of Americans who do not identify with any religion has grown to over 20%. That's up from less than 10% back in the year 2000. And Gallup says every measurement of religious belief or participation is shifting in the same direction, which is people being less religious than they were in the past. And my question is, why? Why do you believe that people are no longer going to church? Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I'd like to hear from you on this one. I'm curious to know why people are no longer going to church. Now, I have a thought or two about that. And one of them has to do with what's happening in the pulpit. You know, back when I was growing up, we had great preachers. We had preachers who were out there. They were not afraid of preaching the Word of God. And they knew the Word of God was going to offend somebody, but they didn't care. Their job was to preach. You had revival meeting services. You had church training union. You had all these classes, Sunday school. In the summertime, we went to vacation Bible school. And now you've got a bunch of people out there who, for whatever reason, are just no longer going to church. And honestly, ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem with America. This is why America is in the crapper right now, because people aren't going to church. We're a godless society. And I quote John Adams all the time, our Constitution wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. And therefore, we're not a moral or a religious people anymore. And you can see the results of that. So I'm curious to hear from you. Why do you think it is that people are not going to church? Why is it that people are now rejecting religion? 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. I want to play some audio. This is Sebastian Gorka, our good friend. He was on Newsmax last night. And man, this Newsmax guest was trying to convince everybody that Trump was a racist. And I'm telling you, Gorka had nothing to do with that. Cut number eight.
And we talked about Kamala earlier. She is the border czarina. How would you rate her performance as border czarina?
So she wasn't border czar. She was talking about immigration, and she went into the...
She was the point person.
...of root causes of migration, particularly from the Northern Triangle and Central America. So she wasn't border czar. I don't agree with that characterization.
Whatever you want to call it, how do you rate her performance? How do you rate her performance?
Let me just talk a little bit about Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. There's very little that I agree with Donald Trump on. But I'll say this. There are times where Donald Trump has called people disloyal, and I really didn't like it. Mm-hmm. When he called American Jews disloyal, I thought it was anti-Semitic.
And I
didn't like
it. Stop it.
But
I'm
with
not
Ron
let you
DeSantis,
get away with
he had a point.
President Trump.
With Ron DeSantis,
no,
he had a
stop,
point.
Stop, Jason.
No, whoa.
You don't get to say
no,
that.
No, you don't.
A man whose grandchildren are Jewish, you don't get to say that on the show.
I just did.
No, it's a lie.
I just did.
Don't do that. His children are Jewish. His daughter can
go. I didn't say
he didn't say anything about unloyal Jewish people. You're not going to say that.
Okay.
No.
Look it up.
Stick on the topic.
Look it up.
Stick on the topic.
Look it up.
What were we going to say on DeSantis?
No, I'm just saying he's right about DeSantis not being loyal. DeSantis was somebody who he helped, he backed to get to the position that he's in Florida. And then he comes out and is attacking Donald Trump. And so I think Donald Trump is correct in the fact that Ron DeSantis has been disloyal.
All right, there you go. The poor guy was anti-Trump, and Gorka went after him so hard, the guy became a pro-Trump supporter by the end of all of that. So thank you, Dr. G. That was great. All right, let's go to Jolie in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate. All right, what do you make of all of this, this godless society, Jolie? What's going on?
I'm just curious, what Bible version is it okay to seize people's private property and sell it at auction for a misdemeanor? Didn't Jesus Christ justify all our sins and wrongdoings on the cross?
Oh, okay, you're gonna have to fill in some puzzle pieces here, Jolie. I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I apologize. I didn't hear the whole that whole segment. I just started listening when you were talking about feeling you thought it was okay or a good idea to confiscate people's belongings and cars and sell them at auctions to cover the cost of incarceration.
Yeah, we're talking about, all right, so you're not talking about church, you're talking about the cars, is that, all right, so yeah, so look, here's the problem. We've got all these thugs and thuggets and thuglings, and they're in these cars, they're causing mayhem on the streets, and we can't figure out a way to stop it. And we had somebody call in and say, one of the things we ought to do is start arresting these kids, throwing them in jail for 60 days, and confiscating their vehicles and selling them at auction. And maybe that'll teach them to obey the laws of the land.
Well, when I was in school, they taught us two wrongs don't make a right. And maybe they need a little bit more Jesus in their life.
Well, no doubt about that. But they also need to take a good driver's ed class. All right.
That does help if you're willing to listen to it.
All right. Jolie, appreciate the call. All right. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I was a little confused. Now, let's go to Liz in Georgia. Liz, what's on your mind?
Well, the thing I wanted to talk about was people not attending church. One of the things that's going on in our area and in the Atlanta area, too, I think, is a lot of churches are streaming their services, and so people are staying home and listening to them at home in their pajamas with their cup of coffee. They don't have to get dressed. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying I don't think everybody you're talking about is abandoning church. They just changed their way of worship.
I try to do that, Liz. I try to watch the church on the internet. It's just a weird thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, you miss so much.
I think
you miss the beautiful music of a choir. You miss greeting your friends. It's just sort of a semi-worship to me when what you're doing is watching on TV. But you also focus in on the pastor, and that may help some people stay in a way of concentrating on the service. That's my thought.
That may be it. That may be it, Liz. There's something about being together, this idea of corporate worship where everybody's together. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to sing in the choir. And Liz, so I had to park. She made sure she knew I was going to, you know, fidget. So I had to sit like on the front row or the second row. And it didn't matter what they were doing. That choir could have been doing like a massive cantata or something. But my mom had an eagle eye on me. And all she had to do was give me the eye. And I knew to behave right then and there.
Church was different, Todd, when I was a child. You know, we were there every time the doors open. Now they just don't have the doors open as often. I remember BTU. I remember Vacation Bible School. You do too.
Oh, yeah.
So much is gone.
So when we were kids, When we were kids, Liz, we would double dip. So we were Baptists. We go to Baptist Vacation Bible School. Then we go to Methodist Vacation Bible School.
Yeah, we did too. We did too because it was the thing to do. We had friends in both those churches. Well, anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you. Just something to consider.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Liz. Appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. Howard writing in from the beautiful North Georgia Mountains. Todd, the reason for the drop in attendance is because the left has split the churches over the gay issue. We recently had some of the Methodist churches in White County vote to leave the United Methodist Church and go to the Global Methodist Church. The UMC is going to change parts of the book written by John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church. And so there are some members that are taking their blanket home and they've stopped going to church. A Presbyterian church and Episcopal churches have gone through this in years past. Well, let me just say this. If they're doing what we just played, and I'm afraid to play that again, I don't want to get hit by lightning. I mean, it was so sacrilegious. But if they're worshiping the LGBT agenda as opposed to Almighty God, yeah, I'm not surprised that people are packing up and leaving. All right, we got to take a break here. Again, why is it, according to Gallup, people have stopped going to church? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Well, the devil's in the phone booth, dialing 911. Well, the church is on their knees and they're loading up the spiritual gun.
Lock and load, America.
Well, the devil thought he had us, but the tables are turned, and now he's on the run. The devil's in the phone booth. Dialing 911.
I love that song. All right. Welcome back, everybody. If you haven't seen the video of that song, of the devil's in the phone book, just Google it and you'll see what we're talking about. Good old fashioned church fun. Let's go to Vera in Georgia. Hi, Vera. How are you today?
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm great.
Vera, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have thoughts on the religion thing also.
Yes.
I have been a churchgoer most of my life, starting out. I grew up in the coal mine area in West Virginia. And my mother taught Sunday school. She took us to church. We went, like the other caller said, every time the door was open. We had revivals that would shake the nation. We had the greatest time watching those tents come into town. I was saved. That's an old-fashioned thing, but it works. I was saved when I was 6 years old. I felt the love of God run through me, and I've felt it ever since. I believe that part of the problem that we have is the mega churches have made it such a see and be seen thing. The small churches still do the beautiful things that pertain to the Holy Spirit. I believe that if we could get back to those smaller gatherings, we would be better off. But your White County caller and my county border each other, and they're going through the same thing in the Methodist Church that we've gone through here in Raven County. And I am not Methodist, I'm Baptist, but I realized a couple of years ago that Christians are supposed to be Christ followers. That's what a Christian is. And the people who call themselves Christian are not following Christ. They're involved in all kinds of things that have nothing to do with Christ, yet they're called Christians. I just wanted to quit being judgmental and focus on God. I have never, ever been closer to the Lord in my life than I am now that I do not go to church. I study the Bible constantly. I do watch some things on TV. There are some things I don't watch as far as services are concerned.
Oh, sure.
But I just really, really have focused on God. And it has been good for me not to go to church.
Well, Vera, look, I appreciate that call, and I want you to give us a holler back one of these days, and I wish we could chat longer, but we're coming up on the end of the show here. But I appreciate every single thing you just said, and I do think that there may be something to that, and getting back to the basics. Maybe that's what the church in America needs to do, is get back to the basics. And by that, I mean maybe those Wednesday night church suppers. That was some good eating back in the day. All right, we got to get out of here, folks. Have a great rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Todd Starnes Show.